Well, good morning. Not too far behind in time. Lots of things going on. Everybody got a handout? You guys have it. Yeah. So just by the title, we're going to pray now to start off. Okay. So Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for everyone that's in this room. Anyone that might be watching on camera. Anybody that might hear this later. And everyone that's in the Saints Network all over the world, even if they don't know it. I ask for your continued strength in all of our lives, your continued wisdom, and your continued grace as it is poured out upon us. We love you, Lord, and all we want to do is serve you. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So, how is everything looking? Okay, I don't know. I sound okay, right? I can't tell where anything's at. This side. There you go. Okay, it's all good. I haven't worn these in a while. So, good morning to you all. The title of this teaching, obviously, My Distress. I was looking up what distress means in the Webster Dictionary, which we don't use when we look in scripture, but unfortunately or fortunately, as part of our growing up, we learn definitions based on basically Webster's Dictionary. So when you talk about distress, it actually says a state of extreme anxiety, sorrow, pain, or danger. Where a person or a thing is in urgent need of assistance. So when I saw that thing, I'm like, what thing is in urgent need of assistance? Oh, a distressed desk, cabinet. But most people do that to their desk and cabinet on purpose. So, okay. So... The other part of the definition a lot of us can relate to, being some anxiety, some sorrow, some pain, or even feeling endangered, in danger, not endangered. And one of the things that made me get here was my conversation with God, which is a great place to start, where I felt like over the last, I'm just going to say year, since last June, I have felt, I don't know what the word is, but now I kind of found it. I have felt stressed, or I've been in distress. At least that's how I view it right now, because I've not been able to function as well as I have in the past. Now, is it because I'm getting older? Josiah? Maybe. Thank you, Josiah. I know he'll always give me the honest answer with just a little bit of, you know, cream on top. A little bit of butter, you know, just maybe. Thank you, Josiah. I love you. Could be that I'm getting old. Kim, what do you say? Am I getting old? No, thank you. She tells me the truth in a positive way. You're awesome, Kim. Who's going to give me the negative response? The enemy, the world, is going to give me the negative response. And one of the things that I've been praying for our house, but Saints Network lately, is functioning in the midst of everything that's going on. And stress or distress is part of life. It's not something that's ignored in the Bible. They don't talk about anxiety, maybe per se, that actual word. They do say anxious. But... you know, it's not something that we often think about or address in scripture, and yet it's there. The word is there, but the functioning of the people in the midst of it is so important, because life doesn't stop just because you're stressed. As a matter of fact, it seems like it goes on a little bit faster. I feel that way, a little bit faster or a little more chaotic, but stress is real. You gonna grab his toe? Because it's right there. So you I don't know about you guys, but then I'm asking the Lord, what do I do? What's going on? Which way's left? Which way's right? And this is where our training has come into play, because we've been walking for how long in this walk? Now, not just as a Christian, because that has some challenges, but we are like well past being a I love Jesus, yes, I do person. We do love him. We are moving forward, but now we're walking as sons. So I'm going to call them the attacks, the challenges seem to be even more pronounced or subtle yet still pressure. I'm not sure how everyone might look at it, but in scripture, when you look at the word distress, the word means what you think it means. It's like thlipsis, but that's not it. The word is tsar, T-S-A-R. But it's talking about being squished, narrow, being, you know, surrounded on all sides, but an adversary, having a foe before you. You can go look up the definitions, an oppression that kind comes. But the root word goes back to the place where I feel like, at least me, I feel like I've been, it's like a binding. Something feels like it has me bound, but it's not like the old times when I would think that enemy doesn't want me to go forward. But guess what? I think the enemy knows that we're going to go forward now. I think he knows that that's not really a stopping is going to happen. But what if he can interfere with us operating as whatever you're called to be, as a teacher, seer, as a prophet, as a pastor? Oh, I didn't give you this. And so that's what I've been praying, because, you know, you look at the challenges, for instance, that have happened to, I'll use Monica as an example. She's been dealing with, you know, her death of her father, but she's been dealing with all of those kinds of things with her family, her mom and dad and all, you know, having to put them here, put them there, all that kind of things. And yet, I don't know if you guys noticed, but she keeps going. And it's not just keep going like the Energizer Bunny, which is also very important for us. We need that kind of energy. But it's keeping moving forward as a prophet. I mean, she has not stopped. And even though times have been difficult, and she's probably like some of us, where you're in something, you're in ministry, or you're at work, or you're dealing with something specific, and you're able to focus on that wholeheartedly. And then as soon as it's done, then the pressure comes back. The adversaries that were circling are right there again. It's like getting away from a shark in the water, and then you keep going back in the water, and the shark comes back. It's right there. I know it. I see it. I see it. It's right there. Well, if you're in the water in New Smyrna Beach, there's always sharks. But anyway, and it can be difficult to operate, to remember how to get up on the board, paddle, and you know how many people freak out when the shark's nearby and they try to get on a wave and they fall off and all that stuff, and then they freak out even more, even though the shark mostly doesn't want you. Adversary likes to work like that. The enemy likes to, I guess, in some ways, play with our mind. In some ways, make us feel more stressed than we really are, and give you better ideas. I have a better idea. Okay, everybody deals with stress differently. When you're in stress, what do you do? What do you fall back to? Everybody has different things. I know one thing: when I'm really stressed, I like to distract myself. How do I do that? I don't know. Let's ask Jocelyn. Jocelyn, how do I do that? I come out and talk to people. Well, part of it's for my back. But anyway, you know, everything's different. Everyone's different on how they handle it. So what does scripture say about handling stress, or in this case, the word distress? So the best part of the answer is to do the things that we're already doing. We just have to remember and do it. Prayer is always number one. But a conversation with God is very helpful. Conversation with my best friend is helpful, but a conversation with God is definitely needed. And if you are in stress, the hard part too in that is being able to hear the Lord. But still, there's something that you always have to know about God, but you do. He's always there. So let's look at Psalms 4, which is a time period in David's life when they believe, people that study this, because I can't really tell, that Absalom, his son, was being, if I say it, was being rude. I want to say the other word. He was being not a nice person at all. Not at all. He was trying to remove, take out David so he could become king. A coup. That's the word I was looking for. I was looking for that other word that starts with a B. And so, Josiah, you can say it. No, don't say it. And so, I mean, you got your own son who's rebelled against you. Doesn't believe you should still be the king over Israel, even though Absalom absolutely knew how David got there. But he was going against all of that. You're out, Dad. You're out of here. Now, if you're a parent in here, which you're not a parent. Me neither. They're the parents. Then you know how hard it is to deal with your kids in many levels. Not only being absolutely sure they're doing the right thing, but then not stressing over when they're not. And it can be difficult. Now, I'm an aunt, not the kind that we're crawling on the table, but the kind of aunt that's a human being aunt, right? And Josiah says, Josiah, am I annoying or am I, you know, good? Josiah, 50-50. See? That is absolutely perfect because I know that I'm annoying and he don't mind admitting it. Right? Don't turn red. That was a good thing. I appreciated it so much. Did I get mad? Did I punch you? Did I kick you out of the car? No. We just kept driving down the road. But I do not like seeing kids in distress. I don't like it. All of you parents here, then let me hang out with your kids. You know that. I get myself in trouble because I want to take them out of trouble. And I take them out of trouble. And then I get looks from mom and dad, grandparents, those kinds of things. But I don't like it. God, he uses our stress, our distress, in a very real way. Because from that place, we learn. From that place, we grow. Our whole capacity as a son is enlarged. You can see that in David. How did David keep going when he did this and did that and did that? Because he knew the heart of the Father, and he didn't stop. And he knew that God's intention always is for our good, always to keep us on track, always to be in the right, in his plan, because it's the plans and purpose of God and his heart that keeps us moving and all the other aspects of God. So when things are going on and it's like, you may not even know that you're stressed until you stop and think a minute, but all the things that are going on, they're happening for a reason. Now, you could be like me and go, oh, okay. Or you can also say, I don't like this. I hate this. Well, we need to embrace it if that's the right way of saying it. We need to understand that if it's going on, it's because not only God's led it, most of us know that. But what's happening is there's an enablement, a greater capacity that is coming our way because of everything else that's going on and the things that God's going to take us forward to. I can tell you when I listen to Pastor Ron talking and all the things that he says, and I'm just all the things that he personally has been through, all the things his family's been through, all the things they're going through, it's amazing that he's still going forward to me. So many people would have said, whatever, and walked away. So he's very much to me like David, where the challenges came, some of them this, some of them that, but he kept moving. He wasn't going to stop. He's still not going to stop. And you listen to the insights that he has for the future, for the future of Saints Network specifically. That's what I'm talking about. He has this capacity to see what's ahead but still be here in this day, in this moment. And that's part of being a son, is seeing what's forward, what's out there, seeing the end from the beginning, so to speak, but being in that beginning. And he's got a great capacity for that. And it's because he understands what stress and means and how to move forward in it. So David absolutely had that down. And in Psalms 4, it's only 8 verses of Psalms 4, and it's something that we need to read over and over and over again, in my opinion. But of course, that's scripture in general. But if you look in Psalms 4, 1 through 8, it says to the chief musician on Neginoth, a psalm of David. And here, start off with the right attitude. David's going to talk to God right away. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. One verse right there, filled with great, awesome information. Right, Carmen? Amen, amen. So enlarge is the word rakab, and I can't say it right because I don't have enough spit, but it means to broaden, to be or to grow wide, to be or to grow large. And we're not talking about our weight. We're talking about your capacity as a son and the specific calling that God has given you as what? I'll talk to myself as a teacher seer. I mean, as an intercessor, in your capacity as an intercessor from the day you started walking as a son to today has changed. There's no way it's the same. I mean, I know it's the first love of God, but there's no way your love for God is the same as it was when you first came to know him. Well, maybe it's different for you guys, but for me, I remember that first day. I remember that first day understanding how much God loved me and then just being blown away by it and then being zealous for everybody else to know what that is and then starting to understand what it really is. And we continue to walk that way. In the capacity of what's happening now in the nations, as Pastor Ron has continued to talk about it, and as we see just in the nation of Brazil, which is a huge nation. If you just look at the map really quick, you can see Brazil standing out. You can see the United States standing out. Then you can see the old USSR. Oh, it's not that anymore. Okay, Russia. You know, and the nations, and I'm talking all those ones I just mentioned, God is moving, obviously, and we are a part of that. Right now, we have certain places that God has pointed at apostolically and asked us to go. But as a son of God and carrying the message of the son, of sonship, of the saints, that's an apostolic calling that we all have on our lives right now. Not just right now, going forward. From probably longer than we really realize that we're an apostle carrying the heart of God. We're apostolically carrying the heart of God to the nations, so everyone will know that it's not just a meeting of Jesus and love, and it's so much more. It's understanding that the whole footstool, the earth, is the Lord's and everything in it, and that we are here to encourage / point at / be an example of to everyone around us. And in the spirit realm, the enemy sees everything. But he sees what's going on. He has a capacity of gleaning spiritual things. I'm not going to say better than us, but sometimes better than we're actually seeing. We need the eyes of the Lord, obviously, to see everything the way God does. And the spirit, the enemy, I mean, in the spirit, sees those things and says, oh, I know how to mess with them. It's like, I like messing with the kids. Today I was messing with kids. Okay, every day I mess with the kids. But sometimes the messing is very designated to the person because they have certain personalities and stuff that we all know. So you, just like you guys mess with me. Well, maybe you don't. But I mess with you, Carmen. I mess with you all the time. You see, the enemy does the same thing. And David absolutely understood that. And from the get-go, from being a kid, and we could see a lot of his life in scripture, just from being a kid, being a shepherd boy, all the way through to being a king. You can see each step, before he was a king, all that, you can see each step that David learned that he was, that it might not have said that he was stressed, but David learned and he knew the only place to go was, hear me when I call, O Elohim, of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. I have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Hear Shema all the way through there. And that word prayer is that word I don't talk a lot about because I don't always pay attention to it. It's tefillah. And it goes back, or it's roots to a word of palah. Guys, remember learning about that? Because I got to tell you, I don't quite frankly remember it all. I had to go back and refresh what memory that I had so that I could present it to you. So palah is to judge, and in concordance, it means to judge mentally. It's to intercede. It's to pray. It's one of our words for prayer, obviously. And it goes back to a place of wonder. I'm going to say it that way. The place where we are with God and what he's doing. There's this ongoing mission, acts, things that God needs us to do. And in that place, we're committed to what he's doing. And because of that, we're in this place of great wonder, this great place, this place of miracles, where miracles begin to spring forth. And that's how you get from prayer to palah to miracles, to those happenings that are unexplainable, and yet we know that they're true. And sometimes when I look at miracles, I want them to be so very specific and known to my brain. You know, like, for instance, the whole situation with my mom and all that with the, and I'm going to give you guys an update, all that with her cancer and all those kinds of things. But to me, the miracle of my mom rolling down the window, I don't think I'll ever forget this, in Cracker Barrel saying, your friends will pray for me, right? You get, I would like some prayer. That's a miracle. That's the kind of miracle I'm talking about. But there's miracles going on behind the scene, I know, with my mom. I know there are, because like seeds have been planted and all those kinds of things, but the commitment, and this is the hard part for some of us, the commitment to being a son, to being a saint, to being one that's following God at all, at all costs, which does cost us, is where these miracles start to sprout from. So how does that really work? Well, I can sort of see it with my mom, who from the very beginning when I became a believer disowned me, literally disowned me, wouldn't talk to me for 6 months, which most of you guys already know that. And there I am, just, that's why other people became my family. So I understand family more than other people understand family, because you guys were my family. You guys did not abandon me. You said, yes, come in here, come this way. Whereas my mom totally did. And even then, on top of all of that, made it difficult to be fully committed to God. And you can think about that in the way my mom has said things, the way she's treated me, and so forth and so on. And I don't have to lay it all out. But, oh, my phone's on. Oh, that was yours. Okay, I thought I turned my phone up. No problem. And so King David had something so very similar to this happen to him, obviously, many times, where almost it's almost like his family or the people that he was committed to, like Saul, were like, let me throw a spear at you and kill you kind of a thing. That's a little stressful. How many times did David declare to Saul that you're the king? I'm just your servant. I'm just taking one situation because David's been in many. And so when he wrote the Psalms, besides having his son betray him, which is a whole stress in itself, we can't even really imagine. He's probably got in the back of his head what was going on back in the day with Saul trying to kill him, back in the day with him trying to be a good son and a good shepherd and taking care of things, and his brothers going, nanny, nanny, pum, pum, or whatever they do. Not that you ever do that to your brother. Not ever. And he's writing this and explaining, what, how am I going to get through all this? How do I get through this? And it's obviously, it's spelled out right there in the very first verse, that he knows where to go.
I know you keep talking about stress here, but I think there's a difference between stress and distress.
Yes.
A major difference.
Okay.
And I think it's in the perspective, because if you go by stress, it's basically the world wants to tell you, you can't help. You can't help how you feel. You can't help how you respond. This is just a natural, in fact, it's part of the definition. It's just a natural way that your brain responds to any type of challenge or demand. You know, this is just what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't function by our emotions. We don't function by our thinking. We function by our spirits. And I think that's what David knew the difference, because he realized he doesn't talk about how his feelings, what his feelings are. He talks about the fact that he is being hedged in. He's being cramped. He's being, this narrow place is pressing upon him. And he knows that it's spiritual, because he admits that it's only in these pressing times that you can be enlarged by the Father. Those pressing times are necessary in order to be enlarged, in order to be widened in your spirit, in your capacity. And that's exactly what he declares right here. You're the one that's enlarged me when I was in this tight place.
Yes. And what's the next verse? Well, how does it start off in verse 2? Oh, ye sons of men.
Yeah.
Now who's he talking to? Or now who's trying to talk to him? The world.
Right.
The sons of men.
Well, and like Mom was saying too, because the word for distress, you know, part of it, it talks about a pebble, and then you get the root word for pebble, which is sewer. And so it's, you know, it's a stone or a knife, but it also is something that it says forms or fashions you, you know? So again, if you're going to be in that, to peel a point where you're allowing the judgment of the Father to come upon you so that you can then wield that point of authority and judgment, mm-hmm. you've got to allow that stuff to be cut off and shaped so that you can be used by the Father. So like Mom was saying, it's a spiritual thing. You realize that to be enlarged in the spirit, you've got to allow those things to be trimmed away, those things that are pushing upon you to do what they need.
Yeah. And some of it is how you were, you know, how you were raised or how you process things.
Well, this is all part of the renewing of our mind. We have to submit our minds afresh every day to the Lord and let him be the one that renews it and brings it to a point of obedience to what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. And you look at people like, is it Paul that said, I die daily? I mean, it's a real thing. And we're going to keep reading. You'll see the other aspects of what dies daily. Yes. Part of the being distressed is not being able to speak. Because what are we doing? Most of the time when we're in this place, we're trying to figure a way out, or am I the only one that does that? Trying to work my way out in my mind? How do I get there from here? And what we know over and over again in Scripture, and even what David knows over and over again in Scripture, is that God provides. He provides all the time. He's got the way every single day for us. He's the one that provides the answers, the route, the direction that we must go. All we have to do is be completely devoted to him. And to me, all this time leading up to now, walking as a son, walking as a saint, has prepared us for this time. So that when we go to Manaus, we're not the same as we were before. What we bring when we go to Manaus is totally different. The responsibility is different because you have been enlarged by the Father, because you have understood to stay, and I'm going to say stay, but toe the line, stay in line with his heart in everything. Yeah, but it'd be really nice if I could go over here. I mean, I'll use a silly example of, it'd be really nice if I could go to the beach. Do I have to go here? Can I go to the beach? I mean, it's not, that's a net answer sometimes. I just want to go outside and stand. Yeah, that's great, but I really need you right here. And that's, to me, what God is bringing forth in all of the stress, distressing situations that I'm in. I still have to be who I am, but I also have to let the Lord provide the answer, provide the support. And I got to tell you, there's times when we don't even know that he's there supporting us. By the way, did I tell you that I found a pocket Jesus at Mayo Clinic in the waiting room? I surely did. It was right there on the hinge of a door. And I was walking up and down the hallway because, you know, you're sitting for so long. And I saw it, and I should have taken a picture. But I saw it, and I said, well, how hilarious is that? Even pocket Jesuses find their way into the Mayo Clinic waiting room for surgeries for cancer. Well, that was the day. Yeah, guess that's the day they do cancer surgeries. Anyway, so there's always the support there. And sometimes you're like, I don't even know how I did that. Sometimes you wake up in the morning, which I have been lately, going, I just can't get out of bed. Or, okay, I can get out of bed, but I don't really want to do anything else. I just don't, because, you know, I've been sick for a while, but other things have been going on, got all kinds of, and I don't. And then you just go. And I, like, how does that happen? Because I know I have to follow God. I have to. I don't really have a choice. To me, at this point in my walk as a son, I don't really have a choice. I know we do, but we don't really have a choice. All you birds on the roof, go away in Jesus' name. Bunch of vultures, there he goes. So, you know, we're at a point, I think, that we don't really have a choice about whether we're going to follow him or not. You know, are we going to go to Manaus? No matter what, you're going to Manaus. Even if you don't physically go, you're going there. You see what I'm saying? And that's the life that we live. And that's the life we have to live going forward, even more so because of the difficulties that are trying to be rained down upon our heads, that are trying to surround us. You know, and I made this comment yesterday. It's like, I tell you what, the world does not want us to have fun anymore. That's the birds. They're up there. Josiah, please leap on the roof and scare the vultures away. Anyway, you know, we're going on a vacation next week. And there's all kinds of things. They are hopping around up there. There's all kinds of things that want to make it unfun in the world's view. You know what? Go ahead and try. Go ahead and try. We're going to be fine. We're going to be where we're supposed to be, and we're going to do what we're going to do, and that's not going to change. Even though it's the beach house and it's supposed to be fun, it's going to be fun. And that's what people think about when they go on vacation. As sons, we never go on vacation. We just don't. We're always praying. We're always interceding. We're always thinking about what God's doing next. We ought to be, because that's how he is. We want to see the end from the beginning. I want to submit myself to the Lord. Mind, my will, my emotions, my intellect, all of it. It's not an option anymore, Josiah. It's not an option. We just got to do it. I'm sorry. Say it again. Yes. I can't repeat her words exactly because I'm still having problems with my hearing, and I know that that's part of my annoying part of my life. So, Carmen, if you got something to say, come put it in the microphone. All right, there we go. All right, so verse 2. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. What? Leasing? Yeah, go look that word up. We're going to talk about it. If you've got your Bible program, you're going to look at it and go, what? Leasing? What are we leasing? We're leasing our place in heaven. What's David doing? He's talking to people, I guess. He's talking to the men and saying, you know, whatever you guys say is going to happen. Talking to the world. Now, it's not going to happen. It just isn't going to be. So you know, like we said, God, I mean, David knew where to go for help. He knew where to cry. He knew where to ask for assistance. So when we look at, do I have that? Oh, there it is. I got my pages mixed up. Sorry. When you look at the words, into shame, we'll start with that one. Well, we know what my glory, we know what glory is, the kabod. We've talked about that at length, but you talk about shame, and it's an interesting word. It's kel im ma, which talks about disgrace. Well, of course it talks about disgrace, but when you look at it, it talks about where are you searching out answers? But how are you being taunted while you're doing that seeking? Which is why the seeking is the next part. But you, when you look at that into shame, it's a taunting. It's an insulting. And boy, taunting can come in different versions. For some people, taunting is the nanny nanny poo poo part. That's taunting. But there's the other taunting of you're not good enough. You're not doing it right. That's why they want you to leave. You don't have enough capacity to figure this out or pray yourself through it. Go ahead and try. Well, go ahead and call somebody and ask them for prayer. You don't have to worry about it. You know, that kind of taunting that we might not look at it as taunting, but David understood. He understood what was going on when they were taking what the Lord was doing, what the Lord is doing, and trying to bring shame to the glory of what God is doing in and through us, but just in general. And we're not having it. Why aren't we having it? Because of the next part of the verse. Let me bring it back up here. How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing, right? What do we seek after? God. It's up on our wall. You see it, Josiah? What do we seek after, Josiah? His kingdom and his righteousness. That's what we seek. What do they seek? Vanity, which we know is nothing. Literally, nothing. And leasing. What's the word leasing mean? Lies. Untruths. So many people would say, no, you can say that. That's just your opinion. Okay. Against scripture. Go ahead.
If you look at this as the threefold, you can see where all of this response of what you have to live in the midst of people that are in love with just nothingness, empty junk, and they're looking for deception. I mean, they wouldn't say that, but they're looking after things that are, they don't know the original, so they're easily deceived by every counterfeit. And they are the ones that are basically insulting the mission of God, the heaviness of his mission. You know, that's what the straits are. That's what the narrow places are. That's what is, let me put it this way. That's what is creating the narrow places.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the midst of that, you are expecting, you're doing the faithful thing in the Selah. You're continuing to wait in prayer for that enlargement, that widening, and then it goes into what the solution is, what the fulfillment is in verse 3.
Yeah. I know I've been a believer for a little while. And when I first became a believer, I thought my life was going to totally get easy. And everything was going to be okay because now I've got God in my life. Just telling you where I was. I'm not that in that place anymore because what's the easy part? Dealing with the world and knowing that the world is all a lie, all vanity, all worthless. That part is the easy part. I don't have to make $1 million. I don't have to have a nice, shiny new car. I don't have to. All those things that I grew up believing that's what I had to have, you know. White picket fence, be married and have two kids already. I missed that one, Kim. You know, that part is no longer the pressure. Now what's the pressure? The deeper things of God bring about the pressure from the enemy, the pressure from the world. But, right? And what happens, though, when you're in the midst of distress? Because they're going to happen. It's not like I can ignore it. It's going to happen. Things are going to get to you. Things are going to make you feel maybe even abandoned, or however the words are you might use in a stressful time. Who has the answers?
The directive is the Selah. What do you do in the midst of a Selah?
What do you do in the midst of a Selah? In case you didn't hear Vicky because she didn't pick up the microphone. Yeah, what do you do in the midst of a Selah? Besides hope that it gets over sooner rather than later. Oh, no way, not supposed to have that attitude. You know, you're interceding. You're understanding what God is doing, and you're trusting with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength that what it's going to be, it's going to be.
You're trusting that there, in the midst of your intercession, mm-hmm. that there is going to be an enlargement of the kingdom. There's going to be a widening of his purpose on the earth.
And God really needs all of us to understand that there is an enlargement. And to continue to operate. And sometimes you see it right away, and sometimes it might take a little bit. But think about the things that have really bugged you over the last year, or even the last 6 months. The things that you are stressed about right now, what I'm going to say mentally stressed about right now, whatever that is, God is bringing about a change within you from a spiritual standpoint that's going to enlarge his capacity within you to enlarge his kingdom within you, to enlarge his kingdom within the earth and in the spirit. I mean, that's what's it.
Because the solution to all that is that the plans and purpose of God has set apart that person, that individual that is godly for God himself.
Yeah, and that's...
And he's gonna Shema when we kara, when we give ourselves to take on the responsibility of the burden that he has.
Yeah.
That's the fulfillment right there. And that's what all of that tightening is working against, is hoping to quash.
If you want to think about it this way, there could be, there's always the war going on. There's a front line. And as recruits, we go through basic training. We condition, we become trained in certain warfare tactics. We are gaining insight into how the enemy strikes. And all this time, each step moves us closer to the front line. Now, as we move, we are reaping the benefits of someone else's front line, in front of us. We come along and there's things that we have to do, but they've already been basically conquered. They're the residues, and we come through and we deal with the residues, and the closer we get to the front line, the stronger the fight's going to be, the more contact we have one-on-one with the enemy, till we are finally the leading edge of the fight, and we have to be the ones who encounter fresh resistance. Not resistance that has already been hit hard and kind of weakened, but resistance that is at full strength. And so our preparation moving up in maturing and understanding these specific things that we have through the years been acclimating ourselves in presents us with a greater measure of responsibility to engage the enemy in his freshness. And so there's going to be a more of a dynamic encounter than when we were learning and God was hiding us, he was protecting us, and now we have been brought forward because he can trust us with what we have understood. We are not going to go and cower away because we're ill-equipped. We're going to press in. We're going to move to the fight. And so that is really that kind of tightening That's that demand on us that says we have to be energetic, we have to be vivacious, we have to be on point, we have to be at the razor's edge. And all these things we have been talking about over the years have prepared us for this kind of encounter in these end days, because it's going to take the saints fully equipped and like, you know, what David's talking about in the Selah, to know what to do at that point, to not say, you know, to retreat, but to keep pressing forward, because we know that the Lord is going to put us in the place that we are capable of overcoming, of being victorious. And he's preparing us daily as we go.
Right.
And this is what's so encouraging, as we see the like you were saying, it's more intense encounters, and that means that we're in a greater place of strength than we were before, because God will not put us in a place where we can't overcome. You know, he's promised that.
Yeah.
So we're going to go forward in that promise.
Amen. I have a greater understanding of Shema now than I did before as well. So, because of how it's used in context with us as sons, as we speak to the Lord and the Lord speaks to us. Don't think I ever quite thought of it that way. But, so that word, where am I at? I got lost, sorry. Selah, but know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Why will the Lord hear? Because you've been set apart, right? And when you look at that word set apart, that's that word pala we've been talking about. That, you know, that wondrous place, shall we say, where miracles will come forth. But we go on to verse 4 where it says, stand in awe and sin not. Who's he talking to? Himself? The people, the men that have started all this, junk up, standing on and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed, and be still. And another Selah. What did David discover? He just said it. Don't, stand in awe. Commune with your heart on your bed. That's kind of a weird way of saying it, but anyway. When you're there, commune with God. There, and this is one of the verses that kind of also started me down this path. This is a verse the Lord gave me for the people in Lyon. There may be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Who's going to tell you that you're Tob? Who's going to give you any information like that? Only the Lord, only the Father, and he's going to shine his light upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. And then verse 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. I missed verse 5. How did I do that? I just blew right past it. After the Selah in verse 4 is offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the plans and purpose of God. I did not mean to blast right past that. This is the die daily. This is part of our call as a son. This is part of our calling to die every single day, and to put our trust, to put our confidence, to rush quickly toward what God has called us to do. I shouldn't say it that way, but to be moving forward to where God is. That's where we need to be. That's what we want to do. That's what we always say we want to do. You know, we get ready for every single mission, every single, I won't call it mission trip, every single trip we take. We have loads and loads of prayer that go into it before we leave. We have fasting that we do. We have declarations that are made. We encourage each other. Well, when we're here and we're not there, that needs to be a continual thing. We need to continue to pray and fast. We need to encourage each other. Kim, you're a wonderful human being. I don't care what Bob says. That kind of encouragement needs to be happening. But what's the source of all of it? Jehovah, Elohim. Those are the two aspects of God that are mentioned in Scripture by David, who is a man after God's own heart. Imagine this guy, he's a king, and he's writing this psalm as though he's, you know, one of us going through a day of whatever you want to call it, a day. I'm having a day. But he's the king. Everything should have been easy for him. Easier. He's got everything. He's got men. He's got wealth. He's got a castle. He's got a tent. He's got a Josiah. Here comes Carmen. Say it.
Okay. The painful part that you're alluding to is that we're giving, like you said, we're not on vacation. That's alluding to something being not pleasant. And I was saying earlier, well, that is our vacation. We're on vacation. And the only reason I was thinking that is I realize now is that, like verse 4 and 5 we're alluding to as well, is we are putting our trust in the Lord for that sacrifice that we're making. And it's a continuous thing, like you were just saying. It's a continuous flow. It's a continuous thing where we're submitting to. It doesn't stop. It's alive.
Right. You can't avoid it.
And that's the definition of who God is with us. But what that really means, the big why that people are screaming about in their souls, and they don't even know that they're screaming. But this is what I'm seeing in the people around me. And I had a vision this morning, and I told Lisa about it, and I think it's Grandma Lisa. Anyhow, is that sacrifice is our emotions, it is our feelings and our thinking that we're giving to God. And it's continuous, and it hurts because, like you said, we're praying for things in our family, and yet we're stretching ourselves all the way out to a country we don't know anything about. We're sacrificing to have the new come about and become, because we know he's moving there and we're dedicated to his cause, and that's fine. But it hurts because we see that it's not anything we know. And so we're having to give up our way of doing our emotions and making sense of things and still move forward in it and still try and be what he wants us to be. And it's a sacrifice to breaking something in us all the time.
All the time.
And it's that breaking we're starting to now realize is a point of sympathy for what's truly breaking in someone else. You know, it's allowing us to be sympathetic to what their situation is. We can paraphrase it or generalize it or put it in a box of what that is. And that they're being like the Sadducees, they're being like the bad people, they're having a bad attitude. They're not getting it. They're bad. Not getting it. We can say that, but I can't do that. I just can't bring myself to say anymore because I'm going to cry. Hold on. It's someone God put in my heart. That person, he didn't do it for no reason. He's asking me to sacrifice for something. I have no idea how that can be fixed. I cannot see that getting fixed at all. There's absolutely no way I see that. I can imagine it in my head, and I've tried to do that. Forget it. It's ridiculous. I'm playing Superman. I'm jumping out of an airplane and skywriting for him or something. You know what I mean? There's just literally nothing I can do. And so I am so blessed by the Saints Network that we're all pressing into this. Mm-hmm. I'm so blessed that the person that's our point man right now, Pastor Ron, is pressing into this. And I'm so blessed that God's using us the way we are. I'm so blessed that everyone has the attitude of God, not man. Because if they did, they would be judging, having attitude and saying, this is bad, that's bad. I don't care. I can see me having this opinion of myself not coinciding with all you guys' experiences. Who cares? Nobody cares. We're all going through it together. We're all having our own opinion. We all see each other as pressing in. And we all have the places that are different, that are going to feel painful, and they're going to get represented in totally different ways. And I am totally being open to what that is in everything, everyone, every word, and I'm totally giving it to God to what that should be at any time.
Right.
And I just really appreciate that.
So laying down everything, the offering of sacrifice, laying down everything in order for his righteous vision to be accomplished, whatever that may be, whether you can understand it or not, that's not the point. The point is, this is what we do. This is who we are. And that's how we are enlarged. And this is how we know God hears our cries. It's how he knows what, that's how he hears it and responds. And another scripture we're not going to get to, it talks about the same concept, but that what we say gets into the ear and is heard by the Father. And as I don't know, there's some, for me, there's some kind of comfort in that, okay? I know that what David is saying is, I'm going to be heard by God, and he's going to respond. And how the response is not the point. The point is, he's going to respond. The Jehovah aspect, the Yahweh aspect, the Adonai aspect, the Elohim aspect, he's going to respond because we have committed everything. We lay everything down all the time.
And Jesus did give us the ultimate pattern to follow, you know, which he was teaching, Ron was teaching in his last two Hagios teachings online, is about, he touched on pattern in both of those. And what's interesting to me is everybody, if we're a saint, we can glean that from everyone in the Saints Network, because they're all chasing that same thing. So we see the patterns, and none of them are going to look perfect. Like I said before, it doesn't matter. Mine's not perfect. You know, I'm just saying that we're at least going after it, and we can appreciate that with what each of us are doing. And
amen. Father, thank you for your word that continues to bring us along, shall we say, Lord, on your path of righteousness, which is where we always want to be. Father, we know that you Jehovah, you Yahweh, will show us the next step in any of the distresses that may be going on right now in our lives. But in every aspect, as we move forward, Lord, you will show us the next step as we are totally and wholly committed to you and to your ways. We love you, Lord, and we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.